Shalom to all. In today's afternoon, Mishnah, we're learning Masechas Zvachim, Perek Yud Mishnah Hey, all the way through Perek Yud Beis, Mishnah Beis. And Mishnah tells us, Kol Chatas Shabbat Torah, Kodmas LaShamais, any carbon chatas that's mentioned in the Torah, that's going to be brought before carbon asham, Chotz Me'asham Metzaira, except for the carbon asham that a Metzaira brings. A Metzaira, somebody has Tsaras, he has a skin issue of sorts that comes because of speaking Lashon Hara for perhaps a different reason, and as part of his Tahara process, he has to bring a carbon asham, so that asham, LaShamais Metzaira, is going to come before a carbon chatas. Why? That is because it is machshir him, it prepares him, or it really allows him to eat kachim. A matzor is not allowed to eat kachim or going to the base of mikdash before he brings that asham. So that asham matzora is on a higher level than a carbon chatos. Now we continue discussing ashamas for a little bit. Call ashamas shabatayra bain b'nei shtayim u'bain b'kesef shkalim. Any carbon asham the Torah mentions a person has to bring. So there's specifications regarding that animal. It has to be a ben shtayim within its second year of life, and it also has to be worth at least 2 shkalim. That's not nowadays shkalim, because that's about 60 cents. It's referring to 2 slime, which is a coin of a much higher value, and so it has to be worth at least that amount. And this is based off a pasuk in the Torah, so it's pretty simple. Chotz me'asham nazir asham mitzayra, except for the asham brought by a nazir or a mitzayra, shehein bain b'nei shnasan, they're brought when they're within their first year of life, not within their second year, and ve'einun bain b'kesef shkalim, they don't have to be worth 2 shkalim. And that's because, since the pasuk tells us beferosh, that it has to be within its first year of life, so automatically that means it doesn't have to be within its second year, and that also means it doesn't have to be worth 2 shkalim, because it only has to be worth 2 shkalim if it's within its second year of life. And moving on to Mishnah Vav, Kishem Shehein Kodem Ba'akravason, just like all these karbonos that we mentioned in the previous Mishnayos, they come first in their akrava. When we have 2 of these karbonos waiting to be brought, we're going to bring the more kadosh one, or the more tadir one, so Kachem Kodem Ba'achilason, that's the order of eating them as well. And here we have examples, Shlam Shel Emesh U'Shlam Shel Ayayim. What about if we have a Shlam that was brought yesterday, and a Shlamim that was brought today? So Shel Emesh Kodman, yesterday's Shlamim comes first. Why is that? So there's really 2 reasons. First of all, the one that was brought yesterday, since it's already a day old, it's also a skalkel. It could get ruined much quicker, it could spoil, or it's much more likely that something could happen to it, and we don't want to be mezalzel and kajim, so therefore we're going to eat that. And also, there's simply a time limit. We know that a carbon shlamim is allowed to be eaten for 2 days and a night, namely the day that it's brought, that night, and the day afterwards. Well, the carbon shlamim from yesterday already had its day and night pass, and now it only has 1 more day to be eaten, as opposed to the shlamim from today, it still has today, tonight, and tomorrow to be eaten. So that's another reason to be eating yesterday shlamim as opposed to today's. Mishnah continues with another example. Shlam shel emesh v'chatzis v'asham shel hayoim. What about a shlam that was from yesterday and a chatzis and asham from today? Now, on one hand, the shlam was shechted yesterday, and we have the reasons that we just mentioned. But the chatzis and asham, on the other hand, are more chashuv. They have a higher level of kedusha, so maybe we should eat them. And the answer is shlam shel emesh kodman divrei Meir. Rav Meir says that the shlam of yesterday comes first, and that's because of what we mentioned. First of all, it's more limited right now in the amount of time it could be eaten. The chatzis and asham are allowed to be eaten today and tonight. Plus, the shlam from yesterday is only allowed to be eaten today, and also because of zilzal, since it was shechted yesterday, it's more likely to spoil or go bad, and therefore we're going to eat it. However, Chamayim v'Chom say that no, hachatos kodemes, the chatos comes first, m'nei shi kachay kachim, because of kachay kachim, and therefore we always give precedence to kachay kachim. And Mishnah Zayin tells us, ubekulam, with all these, with all the karbanos that we just mentioned, we were talking about eating them, when they should be eaten, which one comes first, hakayanim ashayim l'shanis b'achilason, the kayanim are allowed to change, allowed to do basically whatever they want when they're eating them, lachon sluyim, they can eat them roasted, shlukim, which means overcooked, muvushalim is just regularly cooked, v'lasasachim tivlechulin, v'tivlechuma, Reb Shimon says they can even spice them with chulin spices or even truma spices if they want. Since they're kaihanim, they can use truma spices. The bottom line over here is that they don't just have to cook them plain. There isn't a limited way of how to make it. There's a number of different options. You could spice them, make it tasty, no problem. All those options are open for the kaihanim. However, Rav Meir argues with Reb Shimon in one nekuda. Lo yitin l'seichen tivlei truma. The kaihanim are not allowed to put spices of truma inside. Shelo yaves ha-truma de psol, so as not to bring the truma to psol. What happens when kadshim meat is left over and not eaten in time? It's called nicer. And we l'chatchila do not want to leave nicer. We don't want to leave any meat over, but sometimes it happens. And if it was spiced with truma spices, it means the spices also are possible because they absorbed flavor from the kadshim meat. And we're bringing truma l'dei psol. That's something that we're not allowed to do, says Rav Meir. Therefore, the kaihanim are only allowed to use chulin spices and not truma spices. And moving on to Mishnah Ches, Amr Shimon says, Imra isa shem and chumas chalak ba'azara. If you're in the Hazara and you see them giving out oil to the kaihanim, enat hatzarich l'shal mahu, you don't have to ask, what is this oil? Where does it come from? It's obvious where it comes from. Ela Meiser Rekike Minchas Yisrael V'loig Shem Shal Metzaira. It's the leftover of one of 2 things, either of the Rekikim of a Mincha of Yisrael or the Loig Shemen that a Metzaira brings. Let's start with the second thing first. A Metzaira, as part of his Tahara process, has to bring a whole bunch of Karbonos, and as part of that, he also brings a full Loig of oil. Now, only a little bit of that oil is used. It's put on his right earlobe, right thumb, and right big toe. And besides that little bit of oil that's applied to him, and a little bit more oil that's sprinkled towards the the Kodesh Kodashim, basically all the rest of the oil is extra, and that's given out to Kohanim. And then going back to the first thing, Moser Rukike Minchas Yisrael, when a regular Yid brings a particular type of carbon mincha, it also has a lot of oil with it. And besides for putting a little bit of oil on it in the shape of an X, all that oil is extra for Kohanim as well. So if you see oil being distributed in the Hazara, it's either from the Mincha of Yisrael or from the Loig Shemin of Mitzayra. He continues, Imri Isa Shemin Shunas Al Gabi Ishim, if you see oil being poured on the fire being burned in a Tatsar Chleshel Mahu, you also don't have to ask what that is. Ella, Mois Rukikim Minchas Kehanim, it's a leftover of the Rukikim of Mincha of a Kayin, which is not eaten, it's burned. And Minchas Kayin HaMashiach, also the Mincha of the Kayin Mashiach, which is referring to the Kayin Gadol, he brings a Mincha every single day that also comes along with a ton of oil, and that's totally burned on the Mizbeach. And the reason why it can't just be Stam oil is Shein Misnad Vin Shaman, that's because a person can't bring oil as an Adava. According to Rav Shimon, if a person wants to donate an animal, you want to donate a bird, donate a carbon Mincha, no problem. You can't just bring oil to the Beis HaMikdash and donate that. And therefore, the only type of oil that you're going to be seeing distributed is what we mentioned before, and poured on the Mizbeach to be burned is what we had just mentioned. Rav Tarfon argues, and we actually pass on like Rav Tarfon, that Misnad Vin Shaman, there is a possibility of donating just plain oil, and therefore, if you see oil being poured on the Mizbeach, being burned, it's very possible that that was donated by somebody. They just decided to bring oil and donate it, and it's not necessarily only for Minchas Kehanim or Minchas Kayin Mashiach. Now, specifically with the carbon chatos, the Pasuk tells us a number of things. First of all, any meat that touches a carbon chatos, obviously meat of a carbon, but if it touches a carbon chatos and absorbs from its flavor, so it becomes just like it. If the chatos was kosher, everything was fine with it, this meat that touched it has the same status as the chatos and has to be eaten with whatever level of chumrah the chatos does. And if the chatos is pasul, so this meat is pasul. Furthermore, the Pasuk tells us that if some of the blood of the chatos falls on clothing, that has to be washed in Azara. And then the next Pasuk tells us that any earthenware kalim that a carbon chatos was cooked in has to be broken, and any klein chayshas, copper kalim, which basically means metal kalim that the chatos was in, they have to be washed out with water. And so now we're going to be learning all the specific details in this parak. Mishnah Aleph tells us, Dam chatos shenitas al beged. We have the blood of a carbon chatos, it's spritched on clothing, hariz aton kibos, it has to be washed in Azara. Even though the Pasuk itself is talking about a carbon chatos, which is able to be eaten, shenemar the Pasuk says, b'makom kadosh te'achel, that it should be eaten in a holy place. So you might say this only applies to the blood of a carbon chatos that could be eaten. Nonetheless, we say that echad ha'chalas ve'echad ha'pnimis t'unas kibos, that whether it's a carbon chatos that could be eaten, or if it's one of the chatos ha'pnimis, one of the carbonos chatos, that its blood is brought on the inside in the heichal, in the kodesh, that those are not eaten, they're fully burned. Either which way, if its blood spritches on a garment, it has to be washed in the Azara. Shenemar the Pasuk says, toiras ha'chatos. What do we learn from here? Toira achas l'chatos. It's the same rule, it's the same din for all carbonos chatos. Moving on to Mishnah Beis, chatos psula ein domaton kibos. If the chatos was pasul and then its blood spritched on a garment, it doesn't need to be washed. Bein shayla shasa kosher, bein shaloya hayla shasa kosher. Whether or not this chatos once upon a time did have a shas kosher, meaning at one time it was kosher and then it became pasul, or if it never had a shas kosher, it doesn't make a difference. Since by the time the blood sprinkled on this beged, the carbon chatos was pasul, so the beged does not need to be washed. And ezu hisha hayla shasa kosher. What does that mean that it had a shas kosher, was kosher at one point in time? This is talking about a regular carbon chatos that was fine, but then shalana, the blood was lun, which means it slept overnight. It wasn't sprinkled that day. It stayed in the kli overnight, so that apostles it. Or v'shenitma, if it became tame, or v'shiyatza, if it was brought outside the azara, that's where it had a shas kosher, and then later became pasul. Now v'ezu yishalaya lo shas kosher, what's the case of a chatos that never had a shas kosher? That's shenishchat chutz l'zman v'chutz l'mkayma, if it was shechted with the intention of chutz l'zman v'chutz l'mkayma, or v'shekibul psul mizdama, if somebody pasul had caught the blood after the shechita, so that's considered like it never had shas kosher. Either which way, by the time this blood got on the garment, it was pasul, so the garment doesn't need to be washed. Okay, was then started at the beginning of the perek that if the blood of a carbon chatos sprinkled on a beged, it needs to be washed in the azara. And we learned in the previous mishnah that if the blood was pasul, so then the beged does not need to be washed. We get to you with this. Mishnah Gimel tells us nitas menatzaver al beged. Let's say blood spritched directly from the neck of the animal onto the beged. Inuton kibus doesn't need to be washed. Also menakaren min hayisoid. If blood spritched off of the corner of the mizbeach or from the yisoid, the base of the mizbeach, and went onto the beged, inuton kibus doesn't need to be washed. Another case nishbach al ritzba vasafai. If the blood spilled on the floor, he gathered it up and it spritched on his baguette, ain't oton kibos, it doesn't need to be washed. And that's because ain't oton kibos, the garment doesn't need to be washed, ela hadam sheneskabel bechli v'royal hazoya, it has to be that it was caught in a kli, the blood had to be in a kli sharis first, and it also had to have been roy for sprinkling. But in all these cases, either it wasn't caught in a kli because it spritched directly from the neck of the animal, or it wasn't roy to be sprinkled because it had fallen on the floor and then he regathered it in a kli, or in the middle case where it spritched from the karen or from the yisoid onto the baguette, that's because it already had hazaya done to it. It was kosher for hazaya at one point in time, but then he did the hazaya. He sprinkled the blood on on the Mizbeach, and then he poured the extra blood onto the Yisoid. So now that it's post-Hazayah, this blood is not able to be sprinkled anymore, and therefore, when it falls on the garment, it doesn't require kibbutz. Some more situations, Nitas al Ha'ar, Ad Shalei Hofshat, let's say some of the blood spritched on the hide of the animal before it was flayed from the animal. In a ton kibbutz, it doesn't need to be washed. However, Misha Hofshat, if it was already flayed from the animal, and then blood fell on it, ton kibbutz, it doesn't need to be washed. If Rabbi Huz's opinion was Rabbi Lezer, and Rabbi Lezer argues that Af Misha Hofshat, in a ton kibbutz, even after the hide, the skin was flayed from the animal and blood fell on it, it doesn't need to be washed in the Azara. And that's because even though it's off of the animal, it's not officially a kli yet. It's not something that can be makabel tumah yet, therefore wouldn't wash it. Now here's another rule in the Mishnah. Ein oton kibbutz ela makom hadam v'davar shehu roy lekabel tumah v'roy lechibbutz. The only things that need kibbutz is the place that the blood itself fell on, not the entire beged. Also, only something that could be makabel tumah, and also something that's fitting for kibbutz, not something that you're not mechabes. So clothing, for example, is something that you're mechabes, you wash. But a very hard kli, such as one made out of wood, if it gets blood on it, you don't wash it, you scrape it down. That's not called kibbutz, that's called girud, scraping it, and therefore that also doesn't need kibbutz in the Azara. Shadal continue to discuss this. Echra beged, v'echra sak, v'echra ar, whether we're talking about a garment, which is cloth, or sak, which is referring to sackcloth, or ar, which is leather, any of these things that had the blood of the chata sprinkled on them, to unin kibbutz v'makam kadosh, they have to be washed in makam kadosh in the Azara. Now going on to another din that we had mentioned in the introduction to this perek, ushviras kli cheres b'makam kadosh, a kli cheres, an earthenware kli, to have the meat of the carbon chatzos cooked in it, that needs to be broken in the makam kadosh in the Azara. And umuriku shtifa b'chlin chayshes makam kadosh, copper or metal kalim that had the chatzos inside of them, they need murika and shtifa, which is a proper washing out. That also happens in makam kadosh, and zechar b'chatzos mikachay kachim, this is a chomer we find by a chatzos more than kachay kachim, because this applies only by a carbon chatzos and not by other kachay kachim. And we continue discussing, the Mishnah says, beged shiatzos chutz l'klayim. We have a beged, it got sprinkled on with dam chatzos, so it has to be washed, but we know that it has to be washed in the Azara. And here, it was yatzos chutz l'klayim, it went outside the curtains, that's literal translation, which means it's outside the Azara, what's done? So nechnasu mechabes b'makam kadosh is brought inside and washed in the makam kadosh inside the Azara, because that's a din, it has to be washed in the Azara even though it was brought out. Now let's say nitma chutz l'klayim, it became tame when it was outside, it was brought outside, it became tame somehow, and now we have a catch 22, because on one hand, we have to do kibbutz to it, we have to wash it inside the Azara, but you can't bring tum inside the Azara. What's done? Kairai, it's torn, and we know that anytime that we have a kli or a beged that's tame and then it's ruined, so it loses its status of tumah automatically, and that's what we do. We tear it, so now it's not tameh, and then v'nichas b'chabs b'makam kadosh, it's brought inside and washed in makam kadosh in the Azara. Similarly, kli cheres shatzah chutz l'klayim. We have a kli cheres. They had the carbon cooked in it. As we said, it has to be broken. If it was brought outside the klayim, outside the Azara, nichnas v'shev b'makam kadosh, it's brought inside and then broken. Whereas nitma chutz l'klayim, if it came tameh, what do we do? So here we have even a bigger challenge, because if we break the kli outside, then we're not able to break it inside, but we also can't bring it inside because it's tameh. What's done? Nikvai, a hole is made in it, and that's like breaking it, because now it's not usable for its original use because it has a hole in it. Therefore, we've taken care of the tumah problem. It's not considered tameh. However, it is still considered a kli that's able to be broken, and then v'nichas v'shev makam kadosh is brought inside the Azara and broken. Moving on to Mishnah Vav, it's just a continuation. Kli nechashes shiatzah chutz l'klayim. We have a copper kli or any metal kli that was brought outside the klayim. Nichnas umarka v'shev v'makam kadosh, it's brought inside, and the merikin shtifa happened in the Azara. But let's say nitma chutz l'klayim, it became tameh outside the klayim. What do we do? So Pechasai, he ruins it, which is similar to the previous Mishnah of making a hole in a kli cheres, an earthenware kli. Here it's metal, so he has to ruin it a little bit more. And then v'nichas umarka v'shev v'makam kadosh, he brings it inside and he washes it out in the makam kadosh in the Azara. And we continue talking about merikin shtifa of kalim in the Beis Hamikdash. The Mishnah says echad shibisho bayv echad she'er l'soicha r'seach, whether kadshim was actually cooked inside this kli or just boiling hot kadshim was poured inside. Either which way, the walls absorbed some of the flavor. And also echad kadshim kadshim echad kadshim kalim, it doesn't make difference what level of kadshim we're talking about. Kadshim kadshim, the highest level, or kadshim kalim, the lower level. In all these cases, to unin mariko shtifa, the kli needs marika and shtifa. Reb Shimon argues and he says kadshim kalim ainon to unin mariko shtifa. If it's kadshim kalim, it's the lower level, it doesn't need mariko shtifa. Now we have another opinion. Reb Tarfon says in bishalmai b'tchilas regel, if at the beginning of yomtiv they use this kli to cook karbonos in, yivashal by his kol regel, the entire yomtiv they can continue using this kli to cook in, and they don't need to wash it out right away. That's because remember the whole issue over here is that some of the carbon got absorbed into the wall of the kli, and after a certain amount of time it becomes nicer. That flavor is not allowed to be eaten. It could be after 1 day or after 2 days, depending on what carbon it is, but either way, that flavoring, that tam, is nicer, so that's why we have to wash it out, or if it's kli cheres, we have to break it. But Reb Tarfon is saying that since every single day this kli is being used to cook kadshim in, then whatever flavor was absorbed into the walls the day before now gets spat out. That's called it pilot it, it spits it it out, and so that flavor's not in there anymore, and it doesn't need to be washed out. However, Chamer and the Chamer say that no, it's the same din all across the board. It doesn't make a difference if it's Yontif or Shabbos or weekday. We have to keep this din of Marika and Shtifa, and therefore, Ad Zman Achila, up until the time that this carbon that was cooked in it is allowed to be eaten. So if it's a carbon chatos, it's only one day. If it's a shlomim, it's 2 days. So then it's fine. But then afterwards, Marika Shtifa, it needs Marika and Shtifa. And now finally, the Mishnah comes to explain what exactly is Marika and Shtifa. We've just been translating it as washing it out. But what does that mean, washing it out? So here the Mishnah says, Marika kamrikas hakayos, ushtifa kishtifas hakayos. Marika is like being mayrik a cup, and Shtifa is like being shaitef a cup. What does that mean? So Marika hakayos is a term that's used by a kashal bracha, let's say the cup that you're making kiddush on, for example. And this is specifically referring to washing it out in the inside, and shtifa is washing it off from the outside. So now we understand that marika and shtifa means washing inside and outside, and also marika shtifa betzainen, this washing out is done with cold water. Now some mishnayos have in parentheses the word over here, bechamin, and that's according to a different opinion. Our mishnah is shitas Rebbe, who holds that both marika and shtifa is with cold water. Now the gemara explains that the chamim hold that marika is with hot water, that's inside, and the cold water is on the outside. Now we have another din, Hashpud, a metal spit that's used for roasting meat, askala, and a grate or a grill, magi ilon bechamin, the way to get out the flavor that's absorbed inside is to put it inside hot water. That's what we call hagala. Very often this is done Erev Pesach. You see it all over the place. People take their kalim and put them in these boiling vats of water. That's hagala, and that's what has to be done to the spit or the grate. And moving on to Mishnah Ches. Bisha bat kachim v'chulin. Let's say we have this kli that had two different types of meat cooked in it, kachim and chulin. Ay, kachim, 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 kalim. Or it was both kachim, but two different levels of kachim, kachay kachim, and kachim kalim. So im yesh behem benais en tam, if the kachim that was cooked inside with the chulin, or the kachay kachim cooked with the kachay kalim, was strong enough to impart flavor to the thing of the lower level, so harei hakalim nechon kechamurim. Now the lower level, the lighter thing, has to be eaten with the stringency as the more chamur thing. So if we have kachim and chulin, since the chulin absorbed flavor from the kachim, it's treated just like the kachim, and same thing with the kachim kalim, has to be treated just like the kachay kachim. Now the Rav explains based off of the Gemara that we're actually missing a part from the Mishnah. This is called a chesure mechsura. So we're going to add in the following words. What happens? Utu une mariko shtifa. So this kli needs mariko and shtifa because of the kachim that was cooked in it. And also paslin b'maga. If it became pasul, it'll pasul things by touching them. However, continues the Mishnah, again, this is with our added girsa. Vim ein bohen b'nais en tam. If there's no nice en tam. If the kachim didn't impart any flavor to the chulin because there wasn't enough. Or the kachay kachim didn't impart any flavor to the kachim kalim. So then, ein hakalim nacham kechamurim. The lower or lighter level thing doesn't have to be eaten like the more chamer. And also, and here we have this girsa in our Mishnah, this Ral Mishnah's pick up, ve'ena tu'una mariko shtifa, the kli doesn't need mariko shtifa either, and ve'ena pasla b'maga, it doesn't pasl by touch. A somewhat similar din, rakik shenaga b'rakik, this word rakik is a type of cracker that's made as part of a carbon mincha, in plural they're called rakikin, so if a pasl one touched the kasher one, or if a chaticha b'chaticha, a piece of kasher meat touched pasl meat, loikal rakikin loikal chaticha zuin, the entire rakik that was touched, or the entire piece of meat that was touched is not usr, ena usr. It's only the part of the kosher one that absorbed flavor from the non-kosher one. That's the part that's pasul, so that has to be cut off, but the rest of it is kosher. Now, in this part we discuss the kaihanim receiving parts of the karbanos. We know that the kaihanim who are doing avoida in the Beis HaMikdash that day, they have the right to receive certain parts of karbanos. And as we're going to see, they even get to receive the hides of some of the karbanos. So here the Mishnah begins by discussing which kaihanim are not able to receive those parts. Says the Mishnah, Tvul Yom Mechusar Kippurim. We have a kain who's a Tvul Yom, which means he was tamei. He went to the mikveh that day, that's why it's Tvul Yom, he immersed that day, but he still didn't wait for nightfall, and we know that nightfall is when he really becomes Tahar, or Mechusar Kippurim is somebody who's on such a high level of Tumah that he also has to bring a Karbon, and he has not yet brought his Karbon, that's Mechusar Kippurim, he's lacking his Kapara, so these Kaihanim, Einon Chalkim, Akachim, Lechol, Arev, they're not part of the Chalukah, the distribution of Kachim to be able to eat in the evening, because they're not ready for it. Now, Einain, a Kain who had a close relative die that day, Noigea, he could touch Kachim, but Einon Makriv, he can't do that Voida, he can't bring Karbonos, and also ve'ena chalak lechol arev, he's not part of the distribution at night to be able to eat the meat. Now, bali mumin, if a kain has a mum, he has a blemish, bain bali mumin kavuin, bain bali mumin oivrin, when the mum is kavua, it's something that's not going to go away, it's there to stay, or it's something that's over, it's going to pass, it's going to get better, and he's not going to have this mum on him anymore. Either which way, any kain who's considered a bal mum, chalkin va'eichlin, they are part of the chaluka, they are part of the distribution, and they do get to eat kachim, avoloi makriven, but they can't do that voida, they can't be makriv of the karbonos. Now, besides what we just mentioned, the bali mumin, here we have a general klal, a general rule. V'chol she'enu roi l'havoida, anyone who's not roi, he's not fit to be able to do that voida in the Beis HaMikdash, enu chalek b'basar, so he doesn't join in the distribution of the meat of the karbanos that were brought. And also, v'chol she'enu b'basar, anyone who doesn't get the meat, enu b'ayrei, so he doesn't receive any of the hides either. And also, afi kilu tamei b'shas rikas damim, even if the kohen was only tamei at the time that the blood of the carbon was sprinkled, but v'tar b'shas hekter chalavim, by the time they brought the fats on the mizbeach and burned them, he was already tahor, so he wasn't tamei for the whole avodah, only for part of the avodah. Ein echalik b'basar, he still doesn't receive any of the meat. Shenemar the pasuk says, hamakrev es dam hashlamim v'sachel v'mnei aharon loy tia shoy kaimin lamana, the one who's makrev the blood of the shlamim and the chalev from the sons of Aaron, he's the one who gets the right leg as a portion. So even though he was able to bring the chalavim, the fats, he didn't bring the blood. He wasn't able to bring the blood because he was tameh, so he doesn't receive a portion of the karbanos. Moving on to Mishnah Beis, continue to discuss the hides of the karbanos, and we begin by talking about the hide of a karban oila. Kol shaloi zacha mizbeach b'vsara, loi zacha kohen ba'ira. If the mizbeach wasn't zoiche, didn't merit to have the meat, the flesh of the karban oila placed on it, so the kahanim don't receive the hide of that. Shlomo, because the pasuk says oilas ish. The full pasuk is v'kain hamakiv is oilas ish. A kohen who brings the oila of a man, or ha'oila sher hikriv, the hide, the skin of the oila that was brought, la'kain lo yiyah, it belongs to the kohen. So the pasuk tells us very clearly that the kohen receives the hide. However, the limud is from the words oilas ish. And what do we learn from here? Oila sha'olsol ish. It has to be a carbon oila that worked, that counted for the person. But since the meat wasn't put on the mizbeach, so that's not considered that it was oila for the man, and therefore the kohanim don't receive the hide. Now, oila shenishchata shaloi lishma, let's say a carbon oila was shechted shaloi lishma. The kohen had in mind that this was a carbon chatos or shlamim or something like that. Even though that doesn't count for the owner as if he brought a carbon oila and he has to bring another one, it's still a kosher carbon and it's put on the mizbeach and therefore oyer l'kayhanim. The hide of that carbon does go to the kayhanim. And lastly, we conclude, echad oila so ish, echad oila so isha oyer sin l'kayhanim. Both the oil of a man and a woman, the hide of that carbon goes to the kayhanim, because you might have thought to make a diuk, since the pasuk that we just quoted before says, v'kayin ha-makav is oilas ish, a kayin who brings the oil of a man, so he gets to take the hide. Mashma only if it's the oil of a man, not the oil of a woman. So the Gemara darshins that no. The pasuk right afterwards says, ar ha-oila sher hikriv, the ar of the oila, mashma any oila, even the oila of a woman, that ar, that hide, that skin, goes to the kayhanim. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Gimel, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.